Jackets Hockey is back. Pick the games you want with a partial season plan or enjoy the ultimate in benefits as a season ticket holder. Head to BlueJackets.com now to learn more.
The Sports Desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast. With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy. Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. It is Wednesday, October 9th, 2019, and it's my official duty to welcome you into episode 104 of the Buckeye Extra Men's Basketball Podcast. Welcome to Jubilation City. Shout out today to John Lennon, everybody. John Lennon would have been 79 years old today if not for gun violence. So pour one out for John Lennon. Go listen to, just pick your favorite. Go listen to some Double Fantasy maybe today. Give me some truth. Dive in. Get some John Lennon today. It'll be good for your heart, good for your soul. Although I will admit it was a little odd. I follow John Lennon, and I'm using air quotes here, on Twitter, and I follow George Harrison on Twitter. And today on Twitter, George Harrison wished John Lennon a happy birthday, which made my heart happy, but also was a little weird to see. But I'm sure they're enjoying his birthday together somewhere today. So shout out to John Lennon. Now, we are officially 3 weeks away from the unofficial start to the Ohio State 2019-2020 men's basketball season when Cedarville comes to town. And we are officially 4 weeks away from the actual season opener when Cincinnati comes to Value City Arena for a game that will be played at 8:30 p.m. and aired nationally on FS1, which means that we're starting to get into it here. Ohio State's been practicing for roughly 2 weeks. There's not been much in the way of access or interviews since Big Ten Media Day last week, which is to say there's been no access or interviews since Media Day last week, but we still have lots to dive into here and a lot to continue to pour over as we get closer and closer to the start of the season. I realized Monday night, so I was sitting down and thinking about what I want to do for the podcast this week, that I hadn't really solicited you, the loyal listener, for questions. And I wondered what you were wondering about as we get ready to start this season here. And so I opened it up today, opened up the mailbag and solicited whatever I could get from anybody on Twitter and also on our Facebook Buckeye Extra page. So we're going to dive into all your questions here in a little bit as we start to look ahead as to what this season might look like. And also I want to get into a little bit, a couple of things that I have in the pipeline and a few things that will be running as soon as Thursday, which hopefully by the time you're listening to this, I'll either be done with them or we'll be close to done with them. So there's a lot coming up. It's been a lot of late nights lately trying to finish up stories and trying to get things in line because, I mean, before you know it, like I said, the season's going to be here. We are 3 weeks from an actual basketball game being played at Value City Arena. So having said all that, if you don't want to miss anything and if you want to make sure that you're catching up with all these podcasts to keep you up to date as far as how things are going, you can subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast on iTunes by searching Buckeye Extra with a capital X, and that way you won't miss a single episode coming to you at least once a week. It's going to start ratcheting up here as they actually start playing games, so get used to that. I would expect, for example, like the week that they play Cedarville, you'll get a podcast at the beginning of the week, and then we'll get one after the game, maybe the next day or maybe that night. So it's going to start coming at us pretty fast and pretty furious, so get on board, get in line, subscribe, and if you would, leave a favorable review. I can't say it, but hopefully you can spell it. 5-star comment are greatly appreciated. So thank you to those who continue to listen. Thank you to all of you subscribers. And thank you to those that have taken the time to say a kind word or two or to critique my musical tastes. It's all very much appreciated. So we're going to take a real quick break, get a word from our sponsor, and we come back, we're going to hear from you. When Rosati Windows arrives at an in-home consultation, we always tell our customer that a house can't talk to you, but it typically will give you signs that something isn't right. A home's windows are particularly communicative. Although they don't last forever, a high-quality, well-maintained window could last for many, many years, one such as a Rosati window. However, at some point, they may not be at their best, so listen carefully to what they are telling you, and you will know when it's time to have them replaced. Are there drafts? Are they damaged or warped? Do they stick when you close or open them? If you answer yes to any of these, it may be time to call Rosati Windows for an at-home consultation. Learn more at RosatiWindows.com. All right, we're back. So, like I said, I opened it up on Twitter on Tuesday and then sent out a second call on Wednesday morning for questions relating to the basketball team for this upcoming season. I did have to weed out a football question or two, which tends to happen, especially this time of year, but we're sticking to basketball here. I don't pretend to know what's going on with the football program other than I watch the games until they're winning by about 30 and then I turn them off. So, first question comes from @OSU Hoops. at OSU underscore hoops. Sorry, not the official Ohio State hoops account. OSU B-Ball Talk said, which player do you think will make the biggest improvement to their game from last year to this year? I am going to go with Dwayne Washington. And I saw something really interesting last night as I was catching up on a few things from Ohio State Media Day. I saw that over at Stadium, they had a reporter that had gone around on Big Ten Media Day in Chicago and had asked, I think they had 10 different videos. So 10 different players, like, okay, you have the ball, 5 seconds left, down one, what play are you drawing up? And the one person from Ohio State that they posed that question to was C.J. Walker. And C.J. drew up a play that was basically a down screen and then a pinch screen to get Dwayne Washington a three-pointer. So C.J. Walker, who is going to be a captain on this team, or at least I don't know if they'll officially name captains, but he's a captain-type personality, captain-type presence on this team. He picked Dwayne Washington as the guy who is going to take that game-winning shot for them. I think Dwayne can play at a much more efficient level than we saw as a freshman. I think some of the lessons that he learned as the year went on, as far as what's a good shot and what's a bad shot, and when you need to take a good shot, and how important it is to hit an open shot, because open shots don't come, you don't come by open shots all that often in the Big Ten. I think he learned a lot of lessons last year on that. I think he's a kid that works hard. I think it matters to him to do well. And so when I think about what he gave them, I think he can take a pretty significant step forward this season and become a guy that, if C.J. Walker's looking to him to make a game-winning shot, that tells me that there are some expectations that he's going to take a big step forward. So I'm going to go with him right now. I'm interested to see how much like Kyle Young can grow his offensive game, because when you think about him being as held back by injuries as he was last year, I think there's definitely some room for some growth and some improvement there. And even Luther, when you think about how he tailed off the back third of the season, if he can play a consistent season the way he did the first 20 games or so, that's a pretty significant step forward. So having said all that, I'm going with Dwayne right now. Honorable mention to Luther Muhammad and Kyle Young. Next question came from Lewis Todd at I'm Too Tall For You. Interesting. I like the Twitter handle. That's a new one. Will OSU be a power team or a finesse team? This is a great question, because I don't think there was anything finesse about what Ohio State did last season, or really what they've done most of the last 2 years. I mean, this has been a team that has not necessarily excelled in transition. This is not a team that has been able to get fancy buckets or quick buckets or fast break buckets. I mean, this is a team that's had to sort of grind things out, work its offense, get the ball to Kata, get the ball to Caleb, let them do their thing. I would describe them as much more a power team the last 2 years than anything else. I think it's going to be a lot more of a mix this year. One of the things that I did write about on Buckeye Extra late last week, coming out of Media Day, was there was a lot of talk at Big Ten Media Day between Chris Holtman, C.J. Walker, Andre Wesson, and Caleb Wesson, that this is a team that is going to run more. That with C.J. Walker and D.J. Carton in the backcourt, those are guys that can push the ball, they can get to the rim, guys that can score in transition, guys that are comfortable pushing the ball. I think they have more options, and there's a higher comfort level there. Now, this is still a young team, and I think that's going to result in some more turnovers than, at least early on, than maybe what Holtman is accustomed to or is comfortable with. But I do expect that this is a team that is going to do a better job of getting a few more easy buckets a game. And one of the things that I'm going to be writing about here in the next week or so is that when you look at Ohio State's performance basically across the board last year from an individual standpoint, everybody's two-point percentage went down. This was a team that if they weren't hitting a three or getting a dunk, they were struggling to make the offense go. I mean, there's no better example than when you think about that Northwestern game when Caleb was suspended and they were at Northwestern and it was just a rock fight. I mean, it looked like Rutgers, Minnesota a couple years ago when Minnesota was down to like four available scholarship players and Rutgers was still being Rutgers, and it was just a hideous excuse for basketball. This game was not too far from that, at least early on. Ohio State just could not score. I think that they have more skill. I think that, again, with DJ, with CJ, and even with Alonzo Gaffney and EJ Liddell, I think there's more options there. These guys can give them some different looks, can do some different things, and you're not just going to see them have to try to power the ball into the paint and run the offense exclusively through Caleb Wesson. So I'd like to think that we'll see some more finesse from Ohio State this year. Great question. From a longtime Twitter follower / I think listener / reader, Hokie Wolf at Hokie underscore, looks like it's a long underscore, so maybe two. Hokie underscore underscore Wolf. Having gone to the effort of recruiting a tall backup center to compete with teams in the Big Ten that have better size than us, why consider redshirting him? Now, he's obviously referring to freshman Ibrahima Diallo, who was a late addition to the recruiting class. He joined the program, it was like April or May, and is admittedly raw. I mean, he's a 6'10". I think he's listed at 6'10 on the official roster. He's basically a 7-footer when you put him in shoes. And he is, in my mind, he is going to play this year. I agree with the point that my friend Hokie here is trying to make, that you don't bring in a guy like that when... The reason they brought him in is, one, they like his long-term potential, but they need depth behind Caleb. And with Jaden Ladee transferring out and with Micah Potter transferring out, they didn't have anybody that you could just say, that dude's a five. Like, go log 7 to 10 minutes in the paint so we can get Caleb a break when he needs a break, or on a night when he's got two fouls in the first half, go log a couple of important first half minutes. Diallo is raw. We can't stress that enough. I think that's been emphasized in the early goings in practice, at least the conversations that we've had with players and with coaches. I think that's been very clear. But I also I've been interested to hear multiple players talk about how agile he is and how quick he is at getting up and down the court. Actually, had Caleb Wesson was saying how he spent all of last year and even the year before that going against Greg Oden in practice in like drills and things like that, and how beneficial that was. But Greg doesn't run the floor. Greg's not going to get up and down. You'd be backing Greg down, you'd be working on him in the paint, and then the ball's going the other way. Caleb didn't have to chase Greg Oden down the court. He has to do that with Ibrahima, drill by drill by drill by possession, actually. So I think that's been a little bit of an eye-opener for Ohio State, that I think he gets up the floor quicker than maybe you would expect for a guy that is that big. So I do think they have to play him this year, because I think you saw as the season went on what it does to Kyle Young, to Andre Wesson, to those guys having to shoulder more minutes at the five and take them out of where they're most comfortable. I do think you'll still see some Kyle at the five. I mean, they have enough pieces where they can be versatile enough that they're going to move guys around, and you're going to see a small ball lineup. You see a lineup with Kyle at the five, EJ at the four, and Andre Wesson at the three. Or maybe even you see a lineup with Alonzo Gaffney at the three, Andre Wesson at the four, and EJ Liddell at the five. I think they have pieces that they can move guys from the three to the four, and they can, when they need to, go a little bit smaller and move a guy to the five. But I think there's still a definite need for a guy who is a five, so you're not stressing out those guys and playing them out of position or forcing them to overexert themselves to just fill a stopgap for a couple of minutes when they can be much more effective keeping them at the three or keeping them at the four. So I expect Ibrahima to play this season. I would be surprised if he redshirts. I think if anybody redshirts, it's somebody in that wing mix, whether it's, and I don't have an update yet as far as how Justin Arnes is doing coming back from his back injury. But like if he missed the whole summer, and if he ends up being behind a group of, multiple players that are all vying for time at that position, that's where I see a potential for a redshirt, is someone in that glut of guys, fighting for the 2, 3, 4. That's where maybe you could see a redshirt. But I don't see Ibrahima redshirting this season. Even if he is raw, I think you can still maybe throw him out there, and just his size allows you to steal a couple of minutes. I think he plays this year. How much he plays, what sort of significant role he plays, we'll see. Next question from Derek Jones at Derek_Jones44. Who do you think will be the starting lineup, and will this team be a better shooting team this year, and all around will the offense be better? Has Kyle Young finally gotten a jump shot? Go Bucks. All right, we'll take these one at a time. Starting lineup, I'm still sticking with, until I hear that EJ Liddell's injury is holding him back significantly, and I don't know yet if he's practicing or not, but I'm still going with my opening day starting lineup is CJ Walker at the one, Luther Muhammad at the two, Andre Wesson at the three, EJ Liddell at the four, and Caleb Wesson at the five. That's what I think is going to be the starting lineup. Will this team be a better shooting team this year? I think it will be. I think that you saw over the summer some of the things that I was able to write and some of the glimpses we saw, like watching players in the Summer League, the Kingdom Summer League. I think Luther is going to have a more consistent shot this season. I know he has a lot of confidence. He always has a lot of confidence, but he seems to be really confident in what he can do from behind the line. He did get a couple of votes in the poll for the best three-point shooter on the team. And we'll get into that here in a few minutes. But I think he can help. I think Dwayne will shoot better. I think if Justin is healthy, I think he can add some things. I do think, yeah, this will be overall a better shooting three-point team than what we saw last year. And hopefully for Ohio State, a better two-point shooting team as well. They got to get some buckets inside the arc. Will the offense be better? I think it will. I think there's more options. I discussed some of this already, but I just think you have some more firepower. You're not just going to be relying on getting the ball to Caleb and running the offense through him. I think by the end of the season, you have at least two or three guys that teams are immediately going to have to start circling as far as who do you have to stop on Ohio State. It's not just going to be Caleb Wesson. I think it's going to be DJ Carton. I think it's going to be EJ Liddell. It could be Luther Muhammad. There's options there. So yeah, I think it'll be a better offense this year. Question from Eddie Vulich at Zadea. Longtime listener, Twitter follower. Thanks, Eddie. Good to hear from you. How will Holtman bring in the freshmen over the year, especially given the difficulty of the non-conference season? I think that EJ, assuming full health, I think EJ starts because he gives them more of an offensive threat than Kyle Young does. And I think that when you have Andre Wesson at the three and Caleb Wesson at the five and Kyle Young at the four, I think they want a little bit more offense from that 3-4-5 trio, which is why I think EJ gets a start off the bat. I think that DJ Carton plays starters minutes, but maybe doesn't start right off the bat because I think this is, in a lot of ways, going to be CJ Walker's team. They're looking to him for so much leadership and so many other things that he brings that I think he starts right off the bat. So I think those guys immediately assume significant roles. I think that Alonzo Gaffney is a rotation player. I think he's, when they go 7, 8, 9 deep, he's going to get some important minutes. He's got the athleticism to present a problem. If he can continue to develop and understand the system, I think then he could be in for a bigger impact. But I slot him just slightly behind those guys. And then Ibrahima, I've already gotten into him on this podcast. But I think with all these guys, you're going to see them take some steps. You're going to sort of, I think Alonzo and Ibrahima will sort of get their feet wet a little bit slower than DJ and EJ. But DJ and EJ were the players that they were for a reason. I mean, you're talking the best players in their states, potential McDonald's All-American players. I think those guys assume a heavier role early, and the other guys kind of grow into it. Next question comes from Jeff McDaniel at McMac2501. Again, another longtime follower and listener. Thanks, Jeff. These injuries going into the season have me all kinds of jittery. Any updates on the status of Jallo, Arns, and Liddell? Yeah, I think there's reason to be a little bit concerned because when we had Ohio State Media Day, Holtman said those guys would all be limited, but that Liddell and Arns would be further along and would be back sooner than Jallo. And it didn't sound like at Big Ten Media Day that they were necessarily back in action yet. The fact that in the little bits of video that they have posted and little photos that they've posted, those guys are doing some things. So that is a positive. I do think if an EJ Liddell injury lingers, that can alter things, and I've already been over that. But I think that impacts the rotation significantly. The one maybe to be concerned about is Musa, because it does seem like it's a little bit of a longer term injury. As far as their, when it was described as day to day for the other two, it was described as week to week for Musa. And so at Big Ten Media Day last week, Holtman said he was still like another week or 2 weeks possibly. So don't have a more concrete update at the moment. But those are guys that for them to take steps forward this year as far as Musa and Justin, you need them on the court as soon as possible. So the longer that they're out, yeah, I think it's fair to be a little bit more jittery, and you just hope that they get back to full health and can start getting back to where their career progression seemed to be taking them. All right, and last one I'm going to get into, last question I got. This is from Jay Walt, at Sincerely Jay Walt. Great Twitter handle. What is your prediction for our non-conference record to start the season? Big-time matchups this year prior to the start of Big Ten play. All right, so I did a little bit of prep work for this one because I did scan through these real quickly here. So I'm going to run down the non-conference schedule and just throw out a thought or two on each team and where I think these might go, because some of these, there's not really a whole lot to say. So starting off with Cincinnati, I actually have a really weird feeling about that game. I mean, it's John Brennan's first year at Cincinnati. It's his first game. You got Jaron Cumberland returning. I think for Ohio State to go into Cincinnati last year, open up their new arena and win, I think that really probably rankled the Bearcats a little bit. They do have, like I said, a guy like Cumberland returning. They've got some significant talent. You do have a new coach, so you know you're going to come out and you're going to be motivated. And they're getting their chance to come to Value City Arena and try to win. With the youth that Ohio State has, and I know that's going to be a theme throughout this season, I think that there are some concern. I don't know if concerns are the right word, but just this team needs to mature because they are so young and because there's a lot of things that they don't quite know yet. I'm honestly at this moment I'm leaning toward picking Cincinnati in that one. I just feel like that's a setup for in a year where Ohio State has significant expectations and is still young. I could see that being a game that Cincinnati steals in Columbus. So that would be obviously you don't want to start 0-1 and you don't want to lose to an in-state team like that on your home court. But Ohio State did it to them last year, so that gives me kind of a weird feeling about it. Next they play UMass Lowell, who was 258 in KenPom last year. They win that. They host Villanova. Three returning starters, and they add a McDonald's All-American. I feel like if they lose to Cincinnati, they beat Villanova because I think there are lessons to be learned that you can only learn through a loss. And I think that if I'm projecting them to lose to Cincinnati, I think then that they understand what they need to do to compete with a team like Villanova. Having it at home, Holtman coaching as one of his best friends, I think there's going to be a lot going into that game for him. But I like Ohio State's chances in that one at home. Then they host Stetson. 325 in KenPom nationally last year. They win. Purdue Fort Wayne, number 192 in KenPom last year. They win. Kent State, 143 in KenPom last year. They had an in-state team, but I like Ohio State to win that one. Morgan State, number 333 in KenPom last year. I like them to win that one. They go to UNC. That's going to be their first road game. And, you know, I'm very excited to see the Cole Anthony versus DJ Carton show. That's going to be an unbelievable game. I think it's going to be a crazy atmosphere. I think that by then, Ohio State's going to be playing at a fairly high level. If they've been able to navigate Cincinnati and Villanova and learn some lessons from those games, I like them to find a way to steal that one on the road. So I'm going to take them to win at UNC. Then they're going to play two Big Ten games, then come back. They're going to play Southeast Missouri State, 308 at KenPom last year. Yeah, they win that one. They're going to go play Kentucky out in Vegas. Kentucky's got that weird mix where they're kind of old, which is not something that happens much under Cal, but they're also young, and they're projected to win the SEC. I know they obviously had the shocking win against Kentucky 4 years ago, my first year on the beat, when they played in Brooklyn, when Trevor Thompson outplayed Skal Labissiere, and Cade had a good game, and Daniel Giddens had a laying, you know, just went vertical and, or excuse me, went horizontal and had a great late game steal. Unbelievable game from a lot of guys that we don't really talk about too much anymore, but that'll be a fun one. They've had some success in that CBS Sports Classic. I'm going to say that I'm going to maybe lean toward Kentucky at this moment, just because I think they have more five-star talent. And I think that ultimately makes a difference there. And then finally, they go play West Virginia in Cleveland. Now, Huggs wants this game. Like, I guarantee you that he is just dying to get his chance to go play against Ohio State. He wanted the Ohio State job. When Thad was fired, he let it be known, and he publicly, you know, cast aspersions on the notion that he wanted to go to Ohio State, but make no mistake, Bob Huggins wanted to be where Chris Holtman is right now. He had a very firm belief that if he came to Ohio State, he could recruit the state, keep the top talent in the state, and within like 3-4 years could win a national championship and retire, having brought Ohio State back to glory. He really wants this game. His team was awful last year. He's sort of cleaned the house and brought in some new faces and promises to have a new attitude, and then, you know, that this year is going to be back to the standard that he's had West Virginia at. Having said all that, I don't like their chances to go beat Ohio State in Cleveland. I think that game means too much to Ohio State, and I think that they are just going to be a much better team. And you know West Virginia is going to press you. I like DJ Carton and CJ Walker and Luther Muhammad and their chances of breaking that. So that's where I think they go. So I've got them losing two games in the non-conference. So say they go 11-2 in those 13 games. Not bad given who they play. Now I'm going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, I got a few more things to get into before we get the heck out of here.
Hey, football fans, leave the Hail Marys for the game and go for a sure thing when it comes to satisfying your craving. When you pick up Raising Cane's for game day, all you have to worry about is the score, because we've got the food covered with hand battered, cooked to order, always fresh, never ever frozen chicken fingers, craveable cane sauce, and jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. One love.
All right, so I got a couple of other stories that are in the pipeline that I mentioned at the beginning here, and one is a story that's going to run in Sunday's paper that I've been working on for some time, and I'm finally getting the chance to sit down and actually dive into. I wrote a story during the summer about what it's like for coaches to go through the summer evaluation period and the logistics of getting from A to B to C, and then suddenly instead of getting to C, you're going to D, and you got to work with this coach and that coach and private flights, and it was mind-blowing to me, and I thought it was fascinating. It got a lot of people read it, got a lot of feedback on it, so obviously you guys enjoyed it and were interested in it. So I'm writing a story about what sort of recruiting efforts the coaching staff put in during Chris Holtmann's first year on staff. So when the seasons, from when the school year started to when the school year ended, so excluding the summer months or the summer quarter, how much did Ohio State recruit during that year to start trying to build the program back up and start getting some recruiting momentum? And I just find the whole thing fascinating. Like just compiling it where everybody went and what that meant as far as on this day you're here and this day you're there. I mean, I got exhausted just like writing it all down. I mean, these guys go everywhere. And I recognize that college coaches are paid handsomely. And I recognize that this is part of the job. And I'm not asking anybody to feel sorry for them. And I know they're not asking anybody to feel sorry for them. But it is amazing when you look at it. And so one day that I just wanted to spotlight here, and this will be in the story, but this was Ryan Peden had a trip, a two-day trip. He left on April 17th, got back on the 18th. Rent a car in Columbus, drive to Butler, PA, stay overnight, drive to the Pittsburgh airport the following morning, drop off the car, fly from Pittsburgh to Chicago, get a rental car in Chicago, drive from Chicago to LaPorte, Indiana, pick up Holtmann, and then drive to a workout there. After the workout, drive back to LaPorte, Indiana. After that, get to the airport, jump on private plane, get home. That's like 24 hours. And that's just sort of the tip of the iceberg. These guys are all over the place. Flights here, flights there, rental cars, Ubers. It's nuts. So that'll be in Sunday's paper and Sunday's dispatch. So make sure you look for that because it's been fun to dive into it. I think you're going to enjoy reading it. There's a web feature that's going up. It should be up Wednesday afternoon here on BuckeyeExtra.com. If it's not up Wednesday afternoon, check Thursday morning. But I sat down and identified for each scholarship player on the roster one pressing question for each player. And I just figured this is another way to start looking at what each player should be expected to do this season, but what's one thing each player needs to do for this team to get as far as it possibly can. So look for that on Buckeye Extra. That took a fair amount of time. There's a lot to get into there, but I think you'll enjoy that as well. And I did want to mention, this is one of my favorite things that I do every year is at Ohio State Media Day, I ask all of the upperclassmen, because we're not allowed to talk to the freshmen until they actually play a game, but I ask them for their anonymous picks for the best shooter and the best dunker on the team. And then I think 2 years ago, I started asking for the best dresser on the team. And I get some really fun answers. And like I said, I tell the players, like, their votes are anonymous. I'm not saying this player said this guy is the best shooter or whatever, but this was fun. And so in case you missed it, because like I said, it is on Buckeye Extra. It went up Tuesday afternoon. Justin Arns was pegged as the best shooter on the team. He got 72.9% of the votes. Luther Muhammad was second. He got 16.6%. And then Dwayne Washington got the remaining 10.4%. The best dunker on the team. This one surprised me because you don't expect the freshman point guard to be viewed as the best dunker on the team. But that's how the voting broke down. DJ Carton, the teammates voted him as the best dunker on this basketball team. So keep that in mind as you start thinking about what this offense might look like and how they might play this year. Their best dunker is the freshman point guard. And that's not meant to knock the other guys in the roster. That's more meant to highlight how athletic he is, how explosive he is, and what he's going to do this year. Alonzo Gaffney was second. He was not too far behind. He got 33.4% of the votes. And then the category that all the players especially enjoyed was the best dresser on the team. And if you follow him on Instagram, this makes perfect sense. But the winner went, the top voting went to Dwayne Washington. He got 43.8% of the votes. And that dude's got some style. As apparently the kids like to say these days, the players like his drip. Holtmann did drop that at Big Ten Media Day. I don't think I'm young enough to use that phrase, but that is what the kids are saying these days. So now I'm going to get out of here, but not without telling you to go out and pick up the new Avett Brothers album. I don't know if I've ever talked about them on here. The new album is called Closer Than Together, and it is just like a balm for all that ails you in the world right now. It's a fantastic album. These guys just make such soulful, amazing, beautiful music. It's very touching. It's very emotional. It rocks. It's fantastic. I don't know. So if you don't know the Avett Brothers, just go get it, and then just start going backwards. Just pick it all up, because they are a godsend to the popular music scene these days, and everybody should own the Avett Brothers. So go buy their new album. It's fantastic. I can't stop listening to it. Current favorite song in the Jardy household is called C-Sections and Railway Trestles, which is about one of the Avett Brothers, his wife giving birth, and things went wrong and everything turned out fine, but he wrote this song like in the hospital, like that night, just sort of writing down like some stream of consciousness things. And it's a beautiful song, and it's very moving, and it's awesome. So go check them out. As always, you can send along your questions, your comments, your love notes, your hate mail, and otherwise constructive criticism to me at Adam Jardy on Twitter or ajardy@dispatch.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the questions. Thank you to Patrick the Podfather for sitting there listening to all this and trying to make it sound somewhat professional. And until next time, thanks. The Buckeye Extra Podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. Game day tastes better with Raising Cane's tailgates full of 24-hour marinated hand-battered chicken fingers.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra Podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.